When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Welcome to NFL Live. Week 14 is here, and look at this. What a slate of games. Major playoff implications across the board. We've got them all covered for you here on this Friday. Mina Kimes, start us off with something you'll be watching for.
Yeah, it doesn't take a genius to observe that the way to stop the Kansas City Chiefs this year is to stop Travis Kelce. Always been the case, but more so than ever, given the struggles they have had at receiver. They're going up against a Buffalo Bills team that will be missing a starting linebacker in Drew Tranquil, a safety in Brian Cook. So I'm curious to see, can Travis Kelce go off? Can he find favorable matchups? Can the Bills find a way to try to contain him? It's going to be probably the matchup that determines the outcome of this game from the Chiefs offense standpoint.
I'm looking to see what the Houston Texans do moving forward without wide receiver Tank Dell, who is starting to ascend as C.J. Stroud's favorite target. This week, they'll be playing against the Jets. And as you've seen throughout this season, Nico Collins has stepped up big in some of these games, including last week, and become a big play receiver and target for C.J. Stroud. He'll be facing a very tough Jets secondary, but they've been exploited this year with some uncharacteristic mistakes. Can the young C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, now as his number one, make some big plays?
I'm looking out for this Ravens-Rams game, and specifically Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. We'll get an update on Lamar Jackson's health in just a moment with Jeff Darlington, but what does this offense look like, and are they able to be a little bit more explosive? Some of the things we saw earlier on in the season with Todd Monken and this new offense that he implemented, we saw RC saying yesterday they maybe got a little bit too comfortable. I want them uncomfortable against the Rams defense and see what they've got maybe down the stretch here if they can get into the playoffs. All right, we expect them to. Questions all week, by the way, about Trevor Lawrence's high ankle sprain, so let's get an update there. Here's Doug Peterson on his status for the Jags Sunday.
I mean, he's feeling good. You know, we'll see. He moved around a little bit yesterday, see how he does today, you know. Kind of base it on, you know, medical staff, how Trevor feels, and if he can go or not. Still optimistic, obviously, for this weekend, but again, you know, the fact that he's willing and able to put himself out there for his teammates and his team speaks volumes.
Let's bring in our insider, Jeff Darlington. Jeff, what can you add on Lawrence and a couple other question marks for Sunday?
Yeah, let's start with Trevor Lawrence there. He will go into this game as questionable, but you heard from Doug Peterson there. There is still a chance that he will play, which feels like phenomenal news considering the scene Monday when he suffered the injury. A reminder that he was able to play through the pain earlier this season. He returned 4 days after suffering a knee sprain. You see some other guys up here as well. Lamar Jackson will play versus the Rams. He missed practice with an illness on Thursday, but John Harbaugh saying that he was, quote, full of life. So fully recovered, and that's what I'm going to start telling people as well. I am full of life if I am healthy. Mike McCarthy, also full of life, returned to the facility 48 hours after an appendectomy, says he's feeling great. The plan is to be on the sideline on Sunday, and everything he said will be normal. He won't be in the booth or anything like that. He was feeling this stomach pain earlier this week and ultimately ended up getting that appendix removed. Who needs an appendix anyway? Isaiah Pacheco, though, will need his shoulder, so he can't just cut that off. So he's going to keep that, but he's not going to play on Sunday as he recovers from that injury. So they will be down Isaiah Pacheco in this game. That means Clyde Edwards-Helaire will probably take a bulk of those carries away. Jerick McKinnon, who's missed the last two games, also will return, but they will be without Pacheco, who's been there really, I mean, lifeblood when it comes to that offensive backfield in this game.
Lifeblood. We're full of life here on NFL Live. And shoulders, you need them, okay? Welcome into the show. You heard from Jeff Darlington. More from him later. Mina Kimes and Ryan Clark here with you for the rest of this hour. It's Friday, guys. We get a little Friday vibes back together. Yeah. I love being here with you guys for this. And let's talk the NFC East showdown. The Eagles versus the Cowboys, a huge one this week. Eagles entering Sunday night's showdown against the Cowboys, looking to bounce back from their 23-point loss to the 49ers last week. The key for that 49ers defense was their ability to pressure Jalen Hurts without blitzing, as Hurts was pressured on a career-high 25 dropbacks despite being blitzed only 12% of the time. That pressure forced Hurts outside the pocket, where he attempted a career-high 16 passes. So listen to what Nick Bosa said about all that and how they played Hurts yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you see it on tape, though. And then, obviously, we put the blueprint out there. Hopefully, the Cowboys watch the tape. He wasn't completing passes when he had to roll behind the or outside, and those tackles kick so much that it invites you to pick a side and let him go. Because Jalen's looking at the rush every play. So, you just have to be disciplined and not give him that quick escape route where he could get to his guys quick, and it paid off. And our back end played awesome.
Woo! By the way, Mina, full transparency, had texted us that yesterday, and we were all like, whoa. One thing, too, you know Jalen Hurts watched that as well. So, anyway, RC, you hear that from Bosa. Can the Cowboys defense do what the 49ers defense did to Hurts?
Well, first off, appendix is one of the few organs that I do still have. So I at least need mine, even though Mike McCarthy, doesn't necessarily need his. But when you listen to Nick Bosa, he's talking about a San Francisco 49ers front that is extremely unique. They're unique in their inside rushers and Arik Armstead and also Vernon Hargraves. And then what they can do outside with running waves of people at you who are different body types. The Dallas Cowboys aren't that sort of front. And you're speaking about a blueprint, and a blueprint can't be something that the Dallas Cowboys can follow if the Philadelphia Eagles do what they've always done against them, which is use the run, use the zone read, use the RPO game. And some of that was why a guy like Michael Parsons hasn't been as effective against the Philadelphia Eagles as he has other teams. He hasn't been a third down menace. He hasn't been able to cause a ton of pressure because they've made him make decisions. Offensive coordinator Brian Johnson has to go into his bag. He has to get out of this, we're going to drop back and make Jalen Hurts this quarterback that throws behind the queue, involve DeAndre Swift, do some things with motion behind the line of scrimmage, because if they don't, they'll get teed off in a different way, and it won't be to make Jalen Hurts hold the football. It'll be to pressure him and try to force him into mistakes that lead to turnovers.
It's such a good point, Ryan, that it won't be similar because, one, the Cowboys are a very different defense from San Francisco. Stylistically, they're different. The type of coverages they play, the type of pressure is all different. Yeah. And also because I fully expect the Philadelphia Eagles to take a different approach to this game. All week long, they've heard, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
Yeah.
And not to say that that is going to dictate their approach, but if I were them, I would run the ball. The Dallas Cowboys defense has been vulnerable to the run, especially on first down, actually the fourth worst defense in the NFL. Now, I think as far as how they can try to stop it, there are certain tacks I would take. You mentioned the zone read. Jalen Hurts is not as effective as a runner this year as he was last year. So if I'm Dallas, I might be more inclined to try to compel Jalen to keep the ball.
Yes,
and that applies
agreed.
To some of the stuff they do with RPOs as well. And then, I think you have to protect certain players on your defense. Deron Bland coming off of a bit of a challenging performance against the Seattle Seahawks. Ryan, we talked about how Seattle challenged him deep and inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you looked at the Eagles lately, but they have a former teammate of DK Metcalf's who is very similar, but maybe with the dials even turned up is how I would describe AJ Brown. So I think it's going to be a combination of that run RPO game on the ground and then a challenging Bland through the air. The Cowboys might have to give him a little more help than they have in the past, given the competition.
Coming up later in the show, we're going to pick this game, by the way. The Eagles have not lost consecutive games with Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback since October of 2021. It's been quite some time. Let's get back to last night, why don't we? Okay, a little Thursday night football, the start of week 14, the Patriots against the Steelers. And of course, Bill Belichick on the left-hand side, Mike Tomlin trying to figure out the answers. Both of them, second quarter, 14 minutes, 19, second and seven. Bailey Zappe with a dart to Hunter Henry in the back of the end zone. That means the Patriots are up 14-3. Second quarter, first and 10 here for Zappe, throwing it deep once again to Hunter Henry. That's a 24-yard touchdown. Zappe just slinging it out there, okay? Patriots 21-3. So now in the second quarter, we continue. Second and six, Trubisky throwing off his back foot. The 25-yard touchdown to Deontay Johnson. 21-10 pass. Fourth quarter, second and goal. Trubisky punching it in from the one-yard line for the touchdown. This is when Ryan Clark was like, man, I thought I was going to be right on the points total, and maybe I wasn't, okay? But either way, we saw a lot more scoring than some of us thought we'd see in the Pats win. Jabril Peppers on getting this W.
We need it. We need it. I just feel good we can get it done for Bill, and the rest of the coaches. You know, they work extremely hard, try to put us in the right place to make plays. And you know, I don't really like all the flack he's been getting, because it's on us as players to go out there and execute. And you know, I personally feel like the game plan has been phenomenal week in and week out. And when we had the opportunities to make the plays, we didn't make them, but we made enough tonight.
I think we need to have more people that want to work for it, not expect it to be handed to them, because this is the NFL. Nothing's handed to you. You got to earn everything. And I think that, you know, dudes just think that because they're wearing the black and gold that they're going to win games. And I think we need to check their mentality and make people realize that they got to earn that mentality, and they got to earn every single blade of grass and every single splash play and every single rep that they get out there. They got to earn it.
Wow. RC, you know a thing or two about wearing that black and gold. What do you think of Minka's comments?
I think Minka's comments are absolutely spot on. When you're in Pittsburgh, you can sort of get a feeling of entitlement. When you're walking around the building, you're going to see Mel Blunt. We used to see Franco Harris, God rest his soul. Joe Green was in the building. You constantly saw all of these Hall of Famers, all of these all-time greats, and you walk past those six Lombardi trophies every day, and you feel like you're a part of that heritage, but you aren't. You have to earn that. You aren't entitled to go out and win games. You can't will games down to current players. You can't give them the blueprint to do it. They got to go out and do it. And I don't believe that Minka Fitzpatrick is seeing that within the building. There were rumors and we heard stories that he got into it with Deontay Johnson after the Cleveland Browns game. And so now you look at Minka Fitzpatrick saying he doesn't feel like guys are working toward winning games the way that you're supposed to. That's because he's seeing it in the building. He's seeing it in the film room. He's seeing it on the practice field. And when you look at this team's film, if you weren't watching with the sound on or if you weren't looking at the scoreboard, they look like a two-win team, which they just lost to the Arizona Cardinals, who are a two-win team, the New England Patriots, who are a two-win team, and they go out and play these games as if they've earned those seven wins, and they didn't. And now you find yourself outside of the playoff picture because you're walking in with the entitlement of a winning football team that wasn't playing winning-level football, and we saw that sort of lackluster effort yesterday when they were out-coached and out-executed.
Yeah, out-coached, out-executed. Mina, in your mind, what went wrong for the Steelers on the field?
Well, it kind of does start with the coaching on top because they looked sloppy. I mean, not just the execution, but some of the penalties, some of the errors, the play calling. I mean, some of the choices on third and short, or as you say here, fourth and short, like it really made no sense, which isn't to absolve the quarterback play, which was, you know, not good and certainly insufficient. But these are problems that have actually existed all year. I think they just won and that covered them up to some degree. And then as far as the defense goes, giving up that many points to a Patriots offense that hadn't done anything in forever, some of that was they were attacking weakness at linebacker, and that's just a personnel problem. But Ryan, when I was watching this defense out there, they just look tired in a way that around the league, true, teams that have really bad offenses and good defense, this is around the time of year where they just start to look like we can't keep holding up this team. Yeah. I felt this way watching Cleveland last week, sometimes watching
the Jets. Got to this point.
There comes a point in the season, where it's like an elite defense, and I don't think the Steelers are elite, but they're good, can only take you so far, and I feel like they hit their breaking point this week.
Mina, you also said this earlier on the call, it made us all laugh. They got zapped
I got to give you credit for that, though.
Please don't do that.
But it's
He's
so
not
good.
That good. He's
Ryan,
not good.
You laughed.
Laura.
You got zapped.
I don't like it. It's not. It's
You're
not funny
be
when we do
in
it
break.
In front of
okay.
mixed company. It's only funny when we do it amongst friends and family.
Well, there are friends and family at home. Okay, plenty more to come on NFL Live, including more on that massive Cowboys-Eagles matchup. Hear why our crew thinks the Eagles defense can't stop the Dallas passing attack. We'll explain, and we're going to pick it. Also, San Francisco and Seattle dueling it out for the second time in 3 weeks. Will Seattle get their revenge? We'll explain why that could be difficult for this Seattle team. We'll be right back with more NFL Live right after this on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have.
It's V-Week at ESPN when we partner with the V Foundation to highlight the urgent need for cancer research. This is game-changing research that helps save lives. You can join the fight against cancer by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. Back here on NFL Live, the Seahawks facing the 49ers on Sunday. A couple major injury questions there. So, Jeff Darlington, what can you tell us about Geno Smith?
Yeah, let's start with Geno Smith. He was out of practice dealing with a groin injury on Thursday and also dealing with some other injuries as well, lingering arm and elbow injury. As a result, the team is considering the possibility of Drew Lock taking over the starting role. We'll still see on this. Obviously, we've got a little bit of time, but certainly something we need to be watching. Also, in the backfield, I mean, the injuries are definitely stacking up for the Seahawks here. Both of their top running backs, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, dealing with injuries as well. Walker with the oblique injury, Charbonnet dealing with the knee injury. The good news there is that Pete Carroll seems to be optimistic about both guys. We're talking about an oblique injury on Walker that he suffered November 19th, but Carroll said that he's been flying around during some of the work that he's gotten this week. Charbonnet is also moving around well. He's not dealing with a knee injury, just a knee bruise. So it is a matter of pain tolerance. Carroll does believe that Charbonnet should be good to go in time for the game. So they could get those guys back and really could get Geno Smith back as well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, could be a lot more positive than what it feels like. But if those guys aren't out there, that's a big blow. Mina, the Seahawks lost to the 49ers 31-13 just 2 weeks ago. You hear some of the injury concerns there. What can they do to have a little bit more success this time around?
The Seahawks' best defense in this one is just offense. And we saw last week against Dallas, the offense has a ceiling that is very high. I think they're actually capable of putting up points on San Francisco. But if they want to do that, they have to take a completely different tack to what they did on Thanksgiving, which was inexplicably throw at the 49ers' best defensive back over and over and over. Kavarius Ward was targeted as the nearest defender in this game 11 times, which is more than all the other cornerbacks combined. No other cornerback was targeted 4 times or more, and he completely blanked DK Metcalf. Now, I understand Metcalf is your wide receiver one. I think we really saw that on Thanksgiving. He was fantastic. But Ryan, to me, the strength of this Seattle offense is there are a lot of pass catching options. Jackson yes. Smith and Jigba has been playing really well as of late. You got Tyler Lockett. You got the tight ends. The way to beat the Niners is not to force low percentage throws down the sideline at Charvarius Ward. It's to spread the ball out and get it out quickly. If they do that, I think this offense can have some success.
You know, Mina, I love that you hit on that matchup. To me, that's the major matchup on the back end. We also saw Charvarius Ward facing A.J. Brown last week, and he did a tremendous job. You actually saw the Dallas Cowboys switch Stephon Gilmore on to DK Metcalf late in that game last week. And so, to me, it's about JSN. It's about Tyler Lockett. But it's also about Shane Waldron. I need him to get in his bag like Tyrese Halliburton has been in his bag this year during this in-season tournament. I need him to figure out ways to get the ball to the perimeter, have the ball get out of Geno Smith's hand, and use Jackson Smith and Jigba, Tyler Lockett, and get them in space where they put the San Francisco 49ers in the same sort of conundrums the 49ers put people in offensively. If you can do that, if Shane Waldron can figure out how to protect Geno Smith by getting the ball out of his hands and allowing his playmakers opportunities for one-on-ones in the open field, I feel that this is the better option than continuing to force the ball at Charvarius Ward the entire day. And now you can use your play action when you want to get those shots.
All right, guys, we're going to pick this one. We're going to just throw the picks all up at the same time because we're all on the 49ers. I was trying to convince myself to pick the Seahawks. I couldn't do it. I think the 49ers are the best team in football. I know you guys agree. Let's carry on here. We're going to do some more game picks on this Friday. We'll stay with those 49ers. If you have Deebo Samuel on your fantasy team, you could be in for a good week. According to AI-generated fantasy insights built with IBM Watson, Deebo's high projection is 26.1 points, which ranks fifth among wide receivers. Good on you if Deebo's on your team. Still to come on NFL Live, we've got a lot more to get to. The Chiefs and Bills renew their rivalry at Arrowhead on Sunday. Can the Chiefs overcome a laundry list of injuries? We'll update that. We'll make some game picks. Is anyone picking the Bills? I can tell you somebody is. We've also got people on the Chiefs. We'll see you in just a minute. So you know I lied about.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Limelight is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida mas fina. We're back here on NFL Live. Glad you're with us on this Friday. Let's check in on some injuries with Jeff Darlington, starting in Jacksonville, Jeff.
Well, Laura, I guess some good news when it comes to Trevor Lawrence. He's listed as questionable going into this coming game. The fact that he was even able to practice this week, you look at this injury, it felt like it was going to be very serious, but he has been able to practice in a limited capacity. Head coach Doug Peterson has said that he still remains optimistic about the possibility that Lawrence could play in this game, despite the fact that he'll be less than a week removed from suffering that injury. It is, though, a high ankle sprain, and he could play through pain. The question with the Browns is which quarterback is going to start? Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, not willing to say who's going to start. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, though, is out of concussion protocol. He practiced on Friday, so he ultimately is available to play. When Stefanski was asked why he's not naming a starter, his answer was quite simple. I don't have to. So we wait to see who will start for the Browns. Check out these injuries from the Chiefs. Four starters ruled out of this game. Obviously, some big names there. You see Donovan Smith. The one, though, that we should be talking about, of course, is Isaiah Pacheco. He has been such a force in that backfield for the Chiefs. While they're missing some weaponry at the wide receiver spot, Pacheco has really taken on a big responsibility. He's out of this game, though, with that shoulder injury. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is expected to take on a lot of those reps in his place.
Yeah, not the news that the Chiefs wanted, especially facing this Bills team. And the Bills and Chiefs will be in the limelight on Sunday in a game that has significant playoff implications for both teams. A look at this. At 6-6, the Bills are in the hunt for a wild card spot. But if they lose on Sunday, Buffalo would have just a 9% chance to make the playoffs. As for the Chiefs, a loss would significantly hurt their chances to earn the top seed in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes hadn't had to play these playoff games on the road. They are in danger of that if they don't win this. Mina, what matchup are you watching in this one between the Bills and the Chiefs?
Well, from the perspective of the Bills' offense, I would do exactly what Green Bay did and play action the heck out of this defense. The Packers had a ton of success with it. Now, some of that was because the Chiefs, at the very beginning of the game, lost their starting linebacker, Drew Tranquil. They may get Nick Bolton back in this one with Tranquil out. But even with Bolton back in the lineup, I still think the play-action packs would be effective. And also because the Bills are really good at it. Second best in the NFL behind only the San Francisco 49ers. Yet despite that, they've been using it at a below-average rate this season. I would crank that dial way, way up against this Chiefs defense. I think it'll help the run game. And then you can string together those long drives like Green Bay that keep Patrick Mahomes off the field.
Hey, man, listen, they're going to turn up. They need to turn up that play-action pass like my dog Nino after a fresh feeding. The truth is this with this team, right? Joe Brady has started to run the ball if you're the Buffalo Bills. He's at least called it consistently. We've seen Josh Allen play with some patience. Now you need to attack the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe that Brian Cook was really the straw that stirred the drink on the back end for Steve Spagnuolo. And we saw some of those holes present themselves after he was injured against the Green Bay Packers. He's the guy that allows Justin Reed to move around, Steve Spagnuolo to move in and out of some of those faux and simulated pressures. Now you don't have that piece. And whether it's Nick Bolton that's out or Drew Tranquil, you're also trying to piece together your linebacking core. And so for me, I don't know if Steve Spagnuolo will be able to give Josh Allen nor Joe Brady all of the looks that you're used to getting. And so if you're the Josh Allen that we've seen the last 2 weeks, you expect to be able to create dynamics. So it's about being patient and not allowing those differing looks and those movements in and out of pressure to make you make mistakes. And I believe if he protects the football, the Buffalo Bills win this football game, put themselves in a position to be in a playoff run, and nobody wants to see Josh Allen playing this way at this high of a level in the playoffs.
That's an interesting point that they could end up peaking at the right time if they could win this game. Could be a catalyst going forward. Before we make our picks, Mina, what does baby Nino do when he gets turned?
I'm glad you explained who Nino was. I was like, half the audience heard that from Ryan and was like, Nino?
Who's that guy?
Nino Brown?
Nino. Quandre Diggs also goes by Nino. When Nino's turned, he cries. So hopefully that doesn't happen while we're taping this. Hopefully it doesn't happen when I give my pick.
I know. Well, that's a perfect tee-up for your pick. We'll see if we hear any babies crying. Who are you taking in this one, Mina?
I've got the Buffalo Bills. I actually changed it when I saw the injury report. The way I see it is the Chiefs only have three players they can really count on offense for Patrick Mahomes to go to. Kelce, Rashee Rice, and Pacheco. You just took out one of them. It makes me really nervous about that offense.
Yep, I changed my pick, too, to the Buffalo Bills. Thank God for group chats that allow Jeff Darlington's things to come through. I know that y'all didn't change it here. I don't really care. My pick is the Buffalo Bills. I know Susan asked, hey, you changed your pick, too, RC, and I never got back to her, but I thought it was inferred once Mina changed her pick that I was going with the smart people. There we go.
Because when Mina thinks something, you think something, and vice versa. You two are usually on the same plane. So just so everybody knows at home, we have two picks for the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is 16-3 in his career following a loss, including 10 straight wins. So I think he's going to get a big win in this one and just the recipe, the medicine that those Chiefs need heading forward. All right, we got more coming your way here on NFL Live. More playoff spots are on the line this weekend in Cincinnati. Find out why RC thinks it may be a big day for Ja'Marr Chase against those Colts. What does the great wide receiver have in store? A little LSU love. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Sunday NFL Countdown crew has you covered for Week 14 at 10 a.m. Eastern. And the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for both games. We have a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Titans, Dolphins, and Packers, Giants. The two-hour pregame show starts at 6, both on ESPN and the app. You can always check out the ESPN app for all of this coverage. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. All right, let's continue on here on NFL Live. We're going to talk through some locks and keys. We'll give you something that's a lock to happen, and then the key to the matchup for each of these. First, it's Jags-Browns. Questions at quarterback for both teams here. So, RC, what's a lock in this one?
Well, you know what? I'm looking for the Jags to lean on Travis Etienne. If you watch Trevor Lawrence and that injury on Monday night, you thought that he would not be able to play this week. So I don't think his movement will be where we're used to seeing it. So give the football to Travis Etienne. Allow him to have play-action passes where it gives you a little bit more time in the backfield. And Travis Etienne is a guy that can also be used in the pass game as well. If you get the football out of your hand quickly, I think he has to be the bell cow for the Jacksonville Jags. Jaguars facing a Cleveland Browns team that can really get after the passer.
All right, so Mina, what is the key in Jags-Browns?
Yeah, regardless of who's playing quarterback, this Jaguars defense needs to play better than they did against Cincinnati, particularly the run defense, which has been a strength of the team all year, but really struggled against the Bengals. I thought the linebackers also really struggled, which was disappointing. So I'm looking for a bounce back game from them against the Cleveland Browns team that also, regardless of who plays quarterback, we know wants to run the football.
All right, so we're going to put our picks up here. RC and I are both on the Jags, but Mina, you're on the Browns. Why?
I reserve the right to change this if Trevor Lawrence plays. But assuming he doesn't or that he's heavily hampered, I think this Browns defense, which got embarrassed in the fourth quarter last week, comes back in a big way. It's a big mismatch, this Jags offensive line against the Browns defensive line. Myles Garrett's a little bit healthier, so I think they win it in a low-scoring game.
Okay, locks and keys continue. On to the Colts-Bengals game. Both of these teams in the hunt for playoff spots in the AFC. So, Mina, we start with you on the lock. What is a lock in this one between the Colts and the Bengals?
That Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, will be aggressive. He has won games for this football team or with this football team because of his fourth down decision making. In fact, ESPN has this great metric where they look at expected points added after decisions. The Colts have added the fourth most in the NFL this year. He is a creative and intuitive play caller, and he is a big reason why this offense, which is getting better pass protection and run blocking as well, has looked efficient despite the fact they've been starting a backup quarterback all year.
Yeah, let's go, Gardner Minshew. RC, what is the key?
You know what, just to go off Mina's point, on two of the biggest downs of the season for the Colts, 2 4th-and-1s, it was Mo Alley Cox and Granson on a jet sweep that got the football. But my key is Ja'Marr Chase getting the rock in his hands. When you saw last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, he had double-digit targets. And when he has double-digit targets, it just gets everyone else involved. And by the way, Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to make a play. We saw Jake Browning get comfortable because he started out with some RP RPOs, looking at the line of scrimmage, seeing that they didn't have the box, getting the ball out to Jamar. Then he beat Tyson Campbell on the one-on-one, and late in the game, we watched him beat the blitz with the out to T. Higgins. It was because he was in rhythm. You know how you get in rhythm? You take layups. Jamar Chase is a layup in one-on-one, so I expect to see that from Jake Browning very early.
It doesn't matter where Chase is on the field. It's probably going to be a completion in some way or the other. All right, here's our picks. Mina again on her own. RC and I are taking the Bengals. Mina, why are you taking the Colts?
You're good.
I thought, we talked about the Jags, that defense seemed really taken aback by Cincinnati's game plan on offense and looked unprepared. I think the Colts will be very prepared because I expect the Bengals with Jake Browning to use a similar boot, RPO-heavy game plan. Look, Jamar Chase, to Ryan's point, is going to get his, but I think this Indianapolis defense stands a better chance against what should be a predictable game plan.
You see our scores there. We all think it's at least going to be close, so it might be a pick 'em in some ways. All right, speaking of, time for our ESPN Bet Parlay Plus. Broncos trying to stay in the hunt for a wild card spot against the Chargers. Mina, will Russell Wilson have over or under 214.5 passing yards?
I've got under. I know we think the Chargers' pass defense is terrible, but since week 8, they've actually been a top 10 unit, and Russell Wilson has not thrown over 200 yards in quite some time.
Okay, will Javonte Williams have over or under 62.5 rushing yards?
So this one I'm actually going over for a couple of reasons. I mentioned that the Chargers' pass defense has been better. They've sort of flipped it where their run defense has been worse over the last few weeks. I also think Denver, after last week's loss where Wilson was airing it out, will lean more heavily into a run-heavy game plan against the Chargers' defense, try to play more conservative to win.
Will Keenan Allen have over under 84.5 receiving yards?
I'm going under. So this is tricky because he's so clearly not just the number one option, but really the only very proven option for this Chargers passing attack. However, the Denver Broncos have a wide receiver eraser in Patrick Surtain, and if they let him shadow Allen, and that's what I would do, frankly, if I was playing the Chargers, I think he can blank him the way he blanked Stephon Diggs for the Buffalo Bills.
Still to come here on NFL Live, we got a whole lot more left, plus some really interesting game picks. We're going to talk a lot about this Rams and Ravens game. It is an OBJ reunion, but there's another player to look out for. That's next.
ESPN Bet is the official sportsbook of ESPN. For exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities, sign up for the ESPN Bet app. All users get $200 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the app and sign up today. What a play.
This week on Sunday NFL Countdown, what's at stake for Dak and the Cowboys in a showdown against Philly?
This is when we really have to count on our brotherhood and everything that we've built.
And 'tis the season. Whoa. All access inside the making of a Philly special Christmas album.
Make all these toys, bring in some cheese.
Your Sunday starts with NFL Countdown, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, and the only ticket company where you earn rewards with every purchase.
Glad you're with us here on NFL Live. Let's talk a little bit more about the Rams and the Ravens. And we're going to see a lot of Kyren Williams. Okay, the Rams faced the Ravens this week, and no surprise that their recent success has coincided with the return of Williams. He missed 4 games with an ankle injury. When Williams has been on the field, the Rams have averaged 6.3 yards per play, which would rank 3rd in the NFL, trailing only the Dolphins and 49ers. However, when Williams isn't out there, the Rams have averaged 4.5 yards per play, which ranks 29th. That's a significant difference, even though it only seems like a couple yards. But RC, you see that on Kyren Williams' impact for that Rams offense. Yeah. How important will it be to get him going against these Ravens specifically?
It's extremely important, especially when you look at the way that Mike McDonald loves to use his two linebackers, the way that he likes to get Patrick Queen walked up, moving sideline to sideline, and you understand what they do in that position. If you could get the run going with Kyren Williams and sort of get them on his heels, I believe you allow Matthew Stafford to be his best, which is when he has an opportunity to get into the play action game and take shots, whether it's those deep crossers or some of those layered combination routes that we see Sean McVay dial up from condensed splits. All of that comes from the run. But if you're going to allow Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen to dictate what you do in both run and pass, you can have an extremely difficult day. But Kyren Williams, who has been not only explosive in the run game, but physical in between the tackles, can sort of be an elixir that allows you to find ways for Matthew Stafford to get some comfort in the pocket and push the football down the field.
Crazy stat about the Rams rushing attack this year. When Stafford starts, they're averaging 0.11 EPA per play, which is third best in the NFL, tied with the Baltimore Ravens, who, of course, we think of as an elite running team. They've been excellent. There's a number of reasons for that. Kyren Williams is a really terrific, underrated, all-around, complete back. I think the run blocking has been better. This offensive line looks much better than the last couple of years. And then, as Ryan alluded to, Sean McVay's play designs, the way they use motion with the run game to displace defenders, what he calls the illusion of complexity, where everything looks the same. The problem for Los Angeles is if Sean McVay is the magician, the Ravens linebackers are the guys in the audience pissing everyone off by explaining how he does their tricks, because they are the best defense in the NFL against motion. Those linebackers are not only incredibly athletic, they are incredibly smart. And this presents a unique challenge for McVay's offense, because on that side of the ball, the Baltimore Ravens are about as technically sound as it gets.
You know what? Even when people are explaining the magic tricks, though, it still didn't make sense to me. I'm like, but still, but how is he doing it? How is the rabbit popping out of the hat? All right. We're all on the Ravens, as you see there. So I'll let RC answer this one. Why are you picking Baltimore?
I mean, I think the Baltimore Ravens, one, they're just a better team. And sometimes we have to be able to come on here and say that. When you look at what they do defensively as opposed to how it can match up and compare to the Los Angeles Rams, I think it's perfect. You know, I listened to some clips of Mina this week. Also talk about Kyle Hamilton, who right now, Mina asked me a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, I'd have him 6-8. Right now, he's a top three safety in this league in the way that he's defending the run, also rushing the passer, but being able to play slot in the back. And he's an absolute monster that moves all over the field. And I think his ability, along with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, will be too much for Sean McVay to play magician against these guys.
Yeah, what a pick by them, Kyle Hamilton. All right, that's that. Let's get to the game of the week, though, once again. The Cowboys and the Eagles, Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott enters this game playing arguably the best football of his career. As he leads the NFL in QBR and passing touchdowns, he'll look to exploit an Eagles defense that has been one of the worst in the NFL defending the pass. Philly has allowed the highest QBR and the second most passing touchdowns in the league. In the previous meeting between these two teams just over a month ago, remember, Prescott threw for 374 yards and three touchdowns. Not a great matchup if you're talking about the Eagles' defensive side of this. Mina, what matchup, though, are you watching when the Cowboys are on offense?
I look back at my notes from the last time these teams played, and I just wrote CD. It was like my collection in high school, right? Like, I mean, it was just honestly a problem that the Eagles couldn't solve. They threw a bunch of different players at CeeDee Lamb. They have lost Avante Maddox, for the season. And when I look at this roster now and I see how they performed last week against San Francisco, I don't really see any solutions for CeeDee Lamb. This is not a schematic problem. This is a personnel one, Ryan. Like, you could ask, I guess, Darius Slay to shadow him, but of course the Cowboys have other weapons to attack you with. I don't mean to say it's a lost cause. I just fully expect CeeDee Lamb to eat the way he did the last time these teams played from the slot.
Yeah, I mean, if you look last week, Juwan Johnson looked like John Taylor out there playing with Jerry Rice, with the way that he was able to make plays within the slot. And so when you think about that, it's like, Are they going to be able to stop CeeDee Lamb? Hell no. Nah. But you know what they can do? They can get after the quarterback, and that's Dak Prescott. When you go back to the way that this game ended the first time these two teams met up, what was it? It was a sack given up by Terrence Steele when Josh Sweat was able to get to the quarterback. Well, when you think of Haason Reddick, when you think of Josh Sweat, when you think of some of the rushers that you can see line up over him when you play against the Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to have to win. Because if they don't win, if Dak Prescott has an opportunity to truly dissect this defense and find the matchup, I think not only CeeDee Lamb, but a guy like Jake Ferguson can also exploit these backers and nickelbacks of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mina, really fast, you are a youngin', okay, but your CD player was under your seat in your first car. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's right. I had one of those tape decks that people watching might not know about these. You put the tape in the tape deck, and then it connects to the CD player that was under my car. My dad installed it for my 16th birthday. And so you don't have to, like, change them, but you have to choose 6 CDs because you couldn't change them while you were driving.
That's what you're stuck with.
Oh, man.
By the way, we have a younger audience here on NFL Live, so there's some education for all you people out there who may not be familiar with that. All right, the Eagles, by the way, could essentially wrap up the NFC East title on Sunday night, as ESPN Analytics would give them a greater than 99% chance to win the division if they win on Sunday. Wow. The Cowboys have one of the hardest remaining schedules in the NFL, which is why even with a win on Sunday, they'd still have just a 27% chance to win the division. Let's pick this one. A reminder that it's on the road for the Eagles. It's in Dallas. Mina, you go first. Who are you taking?
I've got the Dallas Cowboys winning. I think they're the better football team. I think on a Monday, Dan Orlovsky has to admit that Dak Prescott is the leader for MVP.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Dallas Cowboys, too. And I'm hoping that by the time it gets to Laura, she's doing something differently. But when you look at the way that Dak Prescott has been playing, also the way that they've been able to create the explosive play, that's actually the way that you want to attack this Philadelphia Eagles defense. Yeah. And also offensively, they aren't doing the things that have been successful when facing the Dallas Cowboys. So if they don't make that change offensively, I believe that they can also get to Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you know what? The NFL Live curse, when we all pick the same team, has been really a thorn in our sides lately, guys. So I'm not going to let it happen here. I'm picking the Eagles.
Watch Laura be right.
Well, here's my thing about it. The reason why I'm picking them, I really believe in this. Right. I think because of what we just showed you, how much it matters for the Eagles. They can wrap up the division. They know how important that is. The Cowboys may be the better team, but the Eagles have just a little teensy bit more to play for, if you look at it that way, when it comes to playoff chances. Enjoy this weekend. We'll see you next week on NFL Live.